This podcast is proudly sponsored by DraftKings.com. Your season-long fantasy football team may be going strong, but you don't have to wait until Week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test every week this season at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. With one-week fantasy, there's no season-long commitments. You're in, you're out. You got a sneaking suspicion that someone's going to do really well this week. You got some inside knowledge, maybe. Someone's cousin's cousin's friend. Make money on it. They're giving away millions of dollars, guys. Millions of dollars. You got an injured player? No problem. It's a new season every week. So you're never stuck with the same players. Mix it up. It's like football speed dating. And get this. DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week. They're giving away millions of dollars. That means you could turn your love of football into a payday. That's the payday of a lifetime, guys. Millions of dollars. Even after taxes, that's still a ton. Just pick up your players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. Believe me, you've never experienced football like this before. This isn't fantasy football as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. So hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code LAUGH, that's L-A-U-G-H, and play for free. That's what happens when you know me, y'all. Your first deposit this Sunday for $1 million fantasy football contest where first place takes home $100,000. If you enter LAUGH, free entry. L-A-U-G-H. Free, guys. Free entry. Only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Let me know who you're playing. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know if you want to battle the big boy. That's me. If you email me at whydidn'tthelaughpodcast.com, tell me about your experience and who you're playing. Maybe you got some inside knowledge because I wouldn't mind $1 million myself. I used my own promo code LAUGH. I'm not scared to do it. I use my own promo code. All right. Without further ado, here is another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh?
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
Check, check. Hello. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? The podcast dedicated to analyzing those uncomfortable moments when the crowd does not feed the bear and give the laughs, when they hold back and comedians wonder, why did they not laugh? Been doing this podcast now for almost a year. It's one of my favorite things in the world. We're now in the top 100 on iTunes, apparently, which is pretty sweet. I don't really know what that means, but the fact that there's that many listeners is pretty intense. I never saw that coming. But last week, I asked you guys to email me about autism because I don't know that much about it, and I don't want to sound ignorant. So, and I think that there's a lot of really good things from autism. And I got an email from Megan. It says, I just listened to your podcast. Would love to talk to you about autism. Brendan, my son, has autism. He's 7, considered high functioning. In his case, technology has nothing to do with it. He wasn't exposed to computers. Because my theory, I was trying to develop this theory that kind of like diabetes is caused by sugar. There's two types of diabetes. One is just an insulin problem. And another is you get so much sugar that you develop diabetes. And I was wondering, since autism is spiking so much, is it because of technology? That's just a theory I've been having. And Megan was saying that they watch Disney movies, but that's it. I don't know where it came from, but I do feel that in some ways it is a positive thing. He understands things in ways that, as far as I can see, other 7-year-old boys do not. His imagination is wild and he lives to make people laugh. For me, enriching his emotional intelligence is extremely important. Looking at someone and trying to understand and sympathize with them is what I want for him. He wanted to see the movie Pan, so I took him. 10 minutes into the movie, he was crying because Peter's mother left him at an orphanage and Brendan burst into tears. It breaks my heart when he cries, but at the same time, I was so proud of him for understanding that was a sad moment. Wow, that's awesome. I feel, she goes on to say, I feel that emotions and physical love are so important to teach children on the spectrum. I hug him constantly and always ask him why he does something and how he feels about it. Well, Megan, you sound like a wonderful mother. As far as technology, he does play with iPad and loves it, but the other night we're at Lowe's, and when he saw we were doing, handed me an iPad, chose a color himself, walked up to an employee and said, "Excuse me, my family wants this color for our bathroom." I consider that a win. That's awesome. Because everybody in my family is a teacher. My parents are both college professors. My brother's a middle school teacher. And my brother's taught a couple kids on the spectrum. And he always tells me that there's major benefits, that they're always like good at something, or later in life. You know, that's why it's called a spectrum. There's so many things. But so I started looking up if retroactively people have been diagnosed with Asperger or spectrum in history, and it's incredible, the list. Some of these have been diagnosed by Oliver Sacks. And for those of you that read or listen to Radiolab, he's an incredible human being. But all right, here's a couple. Stanley Kubrick. There's convincing evidence that with his obsessive traits, he had autism, or at least was on the spectrum on some level. What else we got here? Jeffrey Dahmer. That's not a plus, but okay. Emily Dickinson, autism spectrum candidate. Paul Dirac. He is a quantum physicist. That does not surprise me. It has been speculated that Adolf Hitler was on the spectrum, although, of course, people disagree with that. Anything with Hitler, there's going to be disagreements. But some say there was strong evidence to indicate his diagnosis with that. Yeah, that's a little controversial. I'm not going to make that claim. Thomas Jefferson, people believe, was on the spectrum. James Joyce, the author of Ulysses. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, for sure, was on the spectrum. Michelangelo, Alan Turing, for those of you guys that saw that great movie, what was that called? I can't remember, but it was kick-ass. It's about the mathematician that took down the Nazis behind the scenes. Super intense guy. Yeah, so there's a lot of these people. Isaac Newton, Nikola Tesla, Albert Einstein, all Asperger syndrome. All of them. I was looking up, let's see, Tesla was very, very unique person. If you ever want to read about a pretty wild guy, Tesla. Tesla was really intense. Isaac Newton, for sure. Okay, enough of that. I just wanted to discuss that. So this episode, it's we're going old school. We're going one of those episodes where we can hear just me bomb a concept. And I know it's a bomb because aside from this, it was very fun and the crowd was with me. If it's a bad crowd, I mean, not bad crowd, but bad environment. There are no bad crowds, just like children. You know, you just got to hug them. But there's environments. And for those of you that came out to a couple, I just did this tour in the East Coast. And it was, talk about on the spectrum, some of the best shows I've ever had and some of the weirdest. And I'm not going to call out cities or whatever because that's just stupid. But yeah, there was a couple where I was fighting for my survival up there. And those aren't as interesting for me for Why Didn't They Laugh, because you're just listening to a cage fight. And we'll do that occasionally. If you listen to the podcast, you've heard a bunch of those. But when the crowd is you know, it's full, it's dark, there's momentum, you know, they know they're there for comedy, that's when you really can be like, huh, what's wrong with this joke? Because it's clearly not anything except for the joke. So I'm trying to tackle a topic near and dear to my heart recently, and that is the engagement ring, because my girlfriend and I have gotten engaged. We're locking it down. We're going to make life together. And I was not really ever a fan of marriage. And it's not because it's a lack of love, or I'm a math guy. Maybe I'm a little on the spectrum. Maybe I have a little problem with human empathy sometimes and extreme empathy in other situations. But I just don't get it. When divorce rate's over 50%, How are people still... And the diamond industry is just... So I'm doing my best to understand this because I love this woman. And I know that women love this shit. They love it. And when you're making a family, marriage is great because you have the same name. You can make decisions for each other. Your kids have that solidarity. I'm fine with that. It's just the give her the gift that will last forever. Okay, for those of you that didn't know what diamonds are, it's just old dinosaur shit. It's carbon that has been pressed for millions of years, and it's shiny. So is broken glass. So are prisms. And it's really expensive, and there's no resale value. But that being said, you still got to do it. You just do. There's certain things in life where you're just like, I mean, I have friends that still go to Catholic church, and they don't even believe in God. They're just like, dude, go to church. Don't be a dick. And it's like, but you don't believe in God. It's like, why does that fucking matter? Go to church. Everyone expects you to. And there's something to that. You know, and it's like, it'll make everyone happy to go to church or synagogue or mosque. You know, it's like, listen, people want you there. It's like, why? There's no functioning. Why would I just sit and listen to Latin? I don't even speak Latin. It's like, because it makes people happy, man. You know, you got to find this balance between pure logic of like, but I could be doing something else for those 2 hours. Because then you're a fucking hypocrite. Because... I'll look through your life and be like, oh, so you needed to jerk off for 2 straight hours because you found a new category on YouPorn. Like, so you couldn't use those 2 hours to sit and reflect in a quiet room? I mean, because usually when those people, I get the logic of being like, why? I don't personally go to church, but I don't really like it when people are like, that's fucking dumb. It's like, how do you know? Okay, so I'm trying to tackle this situation about balancing the love act of marriage and how I find it irrational. So here's the setup.
That's what women like, diamonds and stuff, shiny objects with no actual value. And I'm not knocking you. I'll support that choice in a minute. Just let me give you my perspective.
You hear that? The crowd just was like, uh-oh. Because I draw a lot of couples to my shows. I'm very couple friendly. Couples like me. They think I'm funny. So, you know, I'll do clubs and they're like, it's crazy how many sets of two they sell. Like I'm couples. Because I do a lot of male-female stuff, but not in just like a, not trying to pat myself on the back, but it's not just hacky fucking male voice, female voice. It's like actual problems that people go through. And... so couples usually leave happy because I try to give each side a voice. You know, as my dad being a communication studies professor, I think that's kind of my thing is communication studies. But I throw a couple dicks in there to make it funny. So I'm already feeling the crowd pulling back. So I have a joke in my back pocket that actually was the subject of my first ever podcast called Caesar Salad. So I use this to try and kind of undercut myself before I start attacking. No one is better at this than Bill Burr, by the way. You ever want to watch just a master? Watch Bill Burr. Like, right before, like, he'll be like, I'm a fucking idiot. I don't know how boats float. And then right after, he'll be like, Steve Jobs is a fucking moron. So if you, like, if whatever you're capable of doing to yourself, the crowd will let you do to them and more. Actually, not more. Yourself or less. So if you really take a shot at yourself, then you can take them. And so I do that here.
You know, it's like, I want this shiny thing. It's like, no, we could take that money and invest in our kids' future, pay off our debt. Why would you want something that doesn't do anything? You know? And then you're at a standstill because they're right and you're right. And I'll tell you why. Because we like legacy, our children, you know, our name. Let's get more power. That's just as dumb. Julius Caesar took over the whole world. What did he get? A salad. It's a dead end.
Okay, so I used that joke to shoot a little life back in him because I could feel that I was not doing a good job with this premise. So, because I truly am trying to be empathetic, because men can be really irrational too, you know, because my instinct is like whatever money we would spend on a diamond, we could start a college fund for our future kid, or we could buy another house somewhere, or like go on a vacation, or like, you know, whatever. But that's also irrational, because it's like your legacy, you know, power, or whatever. That's just as much of an illusion. And so, as I keep thinking about this, I start understanding why women like these things. So here's more.
Where does that go? That's just as dumb if you really think about it. Women like things that don't matter because it shows. Like if you get someone something with no other meaning but them, it shows you really care. It's almost like love hazing. You know, like how frats and stuff, they haze? That's what an engagement ring is. It's saying you're willing to do something so irrational and dumb and like really stupid because that way, when the baby starts screaming, you have a higher probability of staying because that's even more irrational. And I understand that. And that, by the way, if you don't relate to that, that's the only possible angle I can see. You guys don't relate to that? I've never said this on stage before. I was writing today. Why do you guys like ancient dinosaur shit? Diamonds. It's like old dinosaur shit. All right, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to touch this topic. I thought I really would like get somewhere with that. But it's like, no, I want... Because the diamond industry, this is the business model. However much you love her, give me. That's out of control, stupid. All right, it's all good. I give it a shot.
Yeah, so that was as far as I got on that one. And I just don't know how to make that funny. I think it could be very funny. I think that the sliver in there that will work down the line is the concept of hazing. I was never in a frat, but I did play college lacrosse. And I know a lot of people that were in frats and sororities and all these various clubs. And one of the things, it's the same with the military, it's the same with any group. They'll be like, do this. And it's like, why? Why stand on my foot and drink, you know, 5 beers and then punch myself in the face? I don't know, whatever hazing is at your school. But it's because because then it shows that you're down. So basically the diamond thing, it's almost like because this is what got me down this road. Scientists have figured out, because I also do another podcast called Surely You're Joking with a bunch of Caltech PhD dudes. So I'm kind of cutting edge on some topics. Scientists have figured out how to make diamonds. They can make them, guys. Make them. Like high quality gems. Just make it. And a very fascinating thing happened. Women don't want those. They want the ones that you got to dig out of the ground. They want you to... The reason they want that sacrifice, it's not about diamonds. You can make a diamond. And then a woman would be like, but I don't want the one that's $30. It's the exact same one of the one that's 10 grand. They want you to spend the 10 grand because it has no meaning. And that's kind of interesting. I can't fault them for that. Because they're basically trying to say... When shit goes down, which it will, I don't have children, but I want children and I've been around children and they're terrorists. They are. They're awesome, but they also, I have no false beliefs that kids are little unicorn angels. I know that they can be they'll just throw shit at you. And when that happens, a woman is more on the line because she made the child and she wants the guy to stay and provide. And so if you've already established that you're down for the team, even though you could have spent the money on, you know, a nice trip around the world, it shows that you're not just in it for yourself, that you've sacrificed and that when shit goes down, you're not going to leave. Because guess what? I used to think that diamonds, the reason that you'd spend, what do they say, 3 months' salary? That's out of control, by the way. Don't ever do that. But 3 months salary is because it's almost an insurance policy where if shit goes down and the guy bails, the chick could sell it and eat. I thought it was an ancient tradition. Turns out that's not at all true. The resale value is garbage. You may get 5%. You may get 5 cents on the dollar, 10 cents on the dollar. Resale on diamonds is horrible. And it's an ancient tradition that goes all the way back to the 1930s. It's the best business plan that's ever been concocted. They say, however much you love her, you give me. But you got to do it. And I did it. And I'm down. And I'm happy. I am happy. But I'm also a comedian with a scientific, slightly spectrum brain. So I have to analyze shit like this. This is coming out today. So the month of November, I'm chilling. I just shot a thing for the OWN network, Oprah's network, yesterday for Tyrese's new show coming out in November. I'm at the Brea Improv. I'm going to look this up. I keep bailing on the date because I am an asshole. Oh, and I want to hear, write to me. I love hearing from you guys. Like, I'll just show you a couple things that I've gotten recently. People are so nice. It's, I don't know why. You guys don't care. Ricardo, he just went through a breakup. He loves the every relationship bit with the piano melodies distinguishing between men and women. He just finished Ninja Pirate, my last podcast, and he thinks it could be a book, and my voice is very enjoyable to listen to. Your lips to God's ears, my man, because I want to do a book. I want to write a book and do it. I've written some outlines. I'm starting to get into it, but that's something I really want to do. Okay, improv.com. And we're going to close on something really fun. It's with my brother. You can't go wrong with Jason. Can't go wrong with brother. Oh, and I did a podcast last night that was a blast at the Hollywood Improv. It was Adam Ray and Brad Williams' podcast on the same network I'm on, Sideshow Network, which they've become like a family. I mean, they're so nice. Nice goes so far with me. Just being nice and supportive. And so we did a live version with Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block, and we did music, and Brent Morin from Undateable. It was so fun. And I did my over the pants hand job joke about Coldplay, and in the audience was Coldplay's manager, and we hung all night, and I knew Chris Martin was funny. I fucking could feel it. And he was like, yeah, Chris would fucking die laughing at that. Like, I can't do a British accent, but that's why I close with the Coldplay story, because I know that he gets it because of that Stern interview. He admitted, you know, he's just is like funny. You can just tell there's certain people that have funny souls, and then others don't. Okay, November 12th, the weekend of November 12th, I will be at the Brea Improv in Southern California, Orange County. Come out. My opener is going to be Kevin Hickerson, my man. He has his PhD in nuclear physics from Caltech. We've interviewed together the guy who wrote The Martian. We interviewed Kip Thorne, who did all the science behind Interstellar. We interviewed Adam Stelzner, who made the Mars rover. I mean, this dude is on fire. He's one of the smartest humans alive. And he's got into stand-up, to be better at public speaking, and he got the bug. That goddamn bug. We all get that bug. So come out to that show and write me at whydidn'tthelaughpodcast@gmail.com. Tell me what your thoughts on diamonds. Ladies, I want to hear, because in person, I don't always get the truth. You know, people, and this is great. I like compliments and stuff. I like when people are like, yeah, great. Yeah, I totally agree. I know that I know I'm wrong a lot. So in the cold truth of your computer, write to me exactly how you feel about the diamond industry, what you like about diamonds, what you don't like about diamonds, what you think it represents. What do you know? I was debating about proposing and paying off my girl's student loans. And she's an engineer. She's logical. She's fucking down. She gets it. But there's something about, you got to do the diamond thing because it's important to them. And Steve Byrne gave me the best advice about this. He goes, it's their hour special. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you know, like, because comedians take their hour special like very seriously. It's like a big event. Like, I did an hour special for Comedy Central, and it's like you obsess about it and all the details, and your friends and family come out, and it's this festival of all the work you put in, and you're celebrated for what you do. And that clicked in my head where they're like, the wedding is like their hour special. Because in the end of the day, you could say the same shit about comedy. You could be like, it's a fucking microphone. Who cares? You just say jokes and you care so much about it that you do a whole podcast and you dedicate your life to it. And weddings are awesome because it symbolizes a family's coming. And that is the most important thing in the universe is family. So that I do know. So we can agree on that. It's all the details getting there. You know, guys want to be celebrated for their work and their conquests. And tell me what women want out of all of this and what they feel, because it'll help my joke that desperately needs help, because you heard the silence. You heard that goddamn silence. Okay, so we're going to close. My brother and I shared a room together for most of our lives, and it was very small. I'd say it was 300 square feet max, 200 square feet. It was a glorified hallway. I come from a very happy family, very loving, a lot of hugs, a lot of yelling, tears, hugs, laughs, smart, mean, happy, intense, you know. But we didn't have money, but we had hope. So we had to share a room. And I think I think that you get something from that. I think that, I don't know, I'd be scared to get too rich and then have kids, because then they'd be such little bitches. I don't know, maybe not. I've met rich kids that were born in wealth that ended up amazing. I guess it's all about the hug factor. Megan's right, you gotta hug. But anyway, so I'm doing Albany, and he drives down to visit me because he lives in Saranac Lake, which is, I love Saranac Lake. I kind of want to live there. They have an airport too. I could get to East Coast gigs so easily. So we're going to sleep. We're sharing a room, and it feels so natural just to be in the same room as my brother. And so I recorded our going to sleep conversation. And I recently was in a YouTube video that in 2 weeks it got 5 million views. And that's not common for me. I'll work really hard on videos that get like 1,000 views, which I consider a win. But this video, I didn't make it, but it's with the same, I work with this dude all the time, Bennett Silverman, the man, legend. It's called Handjob Cabin. And it's like a fake trailer about a horror movie, Handjob Cabin. I mean, it's exactly what you think it is. A ghost is jerking people to death. And it's fucking, I find it very funny. So check out Handjob Cabin on YouTube. So I show my brother, and his reaction to Handjob Cabin, to me personally, is one of the funniest things I've listened to, because he's not joking. He lives in a world where he cuts down trees and he teaches kids. He has kids, he has roosters, he has chickens. He always has like gasoline or cedar on him. You know, he literally cuts down trees as a side job and is a teacher in the mountains. He's a man, is what I'm trying to say. The dude, he's not inoculated to the amount of media that a lot of us city folk fucking consume. Like, we consume so much media. I listen to podcasts, audiobooks. I'm watching videos, movies, TV, stand-up, Netflix, Hulu, you know, Netflix and chill, or Hulu and hang. I think Hulu and hang might take off, or Hulu and heat. If you guys have any ideas for that, Netflix and chill. No, it's not Hulu and hang. Or maybe we'll Yahoo and Yodel. Or maybe we'll Google and Jizz. I don't know. Maybe we'll, what are some other content websites? Maybe we'll YouTube and Yawn. Okay, so this is just him reacting to Handjob Cabin. Because to him, it's not funny at all. Because it's not making fun of anything, because he doesn't watch anything. He cuts down trees. He raises children. And he's fucking chiseled. And he's like 6'5". Women literally just drop an egg when he's around. They just become fertile. It's really great to watch. All right, so let's listen to that, and then I'll say bye to you guys.
There's like five dudes and one chick.
Yeah.
And they were going to a cabin just to chill. Right?
Yeah.
Like, why? Was she gonna...
I don't know. Like, yeah, that's a good point.
Like, why would five dudes and one big titty girl be going to a cabin? For one. For two, why is there Viagra?
Because the ghost wants to get him hard so she can jerk him to death.
Right, but the said ghost gave a chick a dick. So what? She has magic dick powers.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And like, why did she... Wouldn't she want them to fall out the window? Like, nobody died. Nobody actually died.
But you did say it was super scary.
It's terrifying. I hate it. Like, that's, like, actually a cruel way to sell a joke. That's, like, those scare commercials when, like, the car is driving and the zombie pops up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to know anyone that thinks that... anyone that tells me it's the funniest thing they've ever seen, I never want to see them ever again. I never want to talk to anyone that finds that really funny. Whoever made that, your buddy, that's fucked up.
Why?
Because it's playing on the amygdala.
Just fear.
Yeah, like, I'm an apex predator. Like, I'm not going to laugh at that. I'm going to get into attack mode. And any man that watches that and laughs is a fucking pussy. Like, I watch that dude, and I'm like, I'll kill that thing.
It just wants to jerk you off, though.
Well, that's the other part. Like, on the other hand, it's like, what kind of a guy is gonna... I don't know. What kind of a guy is like, yeah, I don't want a hand job? But nobody died. Did anyone blow a load? How does she jerk off all of them at once, then? Like, obviously, she's jerking everybody. And they're not dead. Remember in the end, she's jerking off the chick, right?
Yeah.
So all those other dudes, she'd already jerked them, right? They were still there.
They were still there?
I think they were. I didn't see a body. You're like, I don't know what, did she rip their dicks off? Like, like, what happens? Like, so she died from... I don't get it. So she was jerking off some dude and she slipped and hit her head. She fell out of a window. That's what he said. He said she was jerking her boyfriend off and she slipped and she hit herself in the head and she fell out the window. So it's like, was she angry about that because was he forcing her to
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking that if it became an actual movie that she was forced to do a lot of jerking, and then she had a jerk revenge.
But nobody forces it.
All right, this has been Why Didn't They Laugh. I'd appreciate it if you guys rated the show, commented on YouTube, because that keeps us on the lists that help us grow. And we're growing, baby. And you guys have been really cool about that, and I appreciate that. So email me at whydidn'tthelaughpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to work on a book. My website is owenbenjamin.com. Sign up for email list, but I don't really understand how that works totally. I've sent out a couple email blasts. Still working on that. I was not a marketer, guys. I was a history major. I'm all about psychology, writing jokes, reading, writing. So that element of my career is still new and it's exciting, but I don't fully understand it. So help me. You know, Twitter @OwenBenjamin, Facebook, Owen Benjamin Comedy. I kind of hate saying my name over and over again, but if I chose a different name for every medium, it would be really confusing. Owen Benjam on Instagram, because an Asian fucking baby got Owen Benjamin, and he actually has a ton of hashtags. He's pretty competitive with me. I'm a touring comedian, and he's just an Asian kid. And that's how fucking cute they are, because they just exist, and they can out-hashtag me. Fucking Owen Benjamin the baby. Yeah, all right. You guys rule. Talk soon.